Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we do have reason to love the Lord tonight. Oh, He has been good to us. And oh my, you know, we surely do need Him. Oh, it happens all the time. It seems like, you know, these incidents and oh, how He helps us to realize our great need. I know I had occasion to go to Watertown Sunday night, and you know, on the way over there, I was just, you know, thanking the Lord for a good car and for brakes that have worked very well for me and everything else, and you know, just thankful for all those blessings. And you know, it was really something when I was coming home. It was starting to get dark at that point. And anyway, I was alone, and I actually didn't even have a phone with me. But anyway, the brake light started to come on as I was coming home, and also to the check engine light, and there was another one that looked like a traction problem. All those lights started to come on, and then the brake light was flashing, and you know, it was just a little bit disconcerting there as I was going through all of that. But then I remembered how, as I was going to Watertown, that, you know, I was thanking the Lord for the wonderful brakes and how well they worked. And I thought, well, you know, the car's working. It's running. You know, the engine is going. I don't have any funny smells, or I don't, you know, there aren't any squeaky brake sounds or anything else. You know, I just got to believe the Lord. And oh my, praise the Lord, how wonderful He is. But you know, I thank God, I later found out that my gas cap was loose, and I think that may have been the problem. But you know, thank the Lord. You know, I'm so glad He's with us. I mean, oh my, how often we need Him. We need Him all the time. And oh my, there is reason to love Jesus. He answers our prayer. He knows the needs. He sees us when we're in distress and when we're in trouble and things go wrong and, oh, we have burdens and maybe it's a loved one who's sick or maybe it's even ourselves at times. And, oh, my, there are all kinds of problems in this world, issues that come up, you know, sometimes financial problems, sometimes marital problems. Oh, my, all kinds of things can go wrong. But praise the Lord, we have a wonderful friend in Jesus, and it's so true, there is no friend like the lowly Jesus. So praise the Lord, but yet how high and mighty He is. And I'm so glad that we have His word, that we have His promises, that we have hope in the Lord Jesus. And praise the Lord, we're going to go into His word tonight. First, I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to be with us. Ask that you would join with us. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, God. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to open up your word. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word that leads us, that guides us, that inspires us, that gives us hope, that talks to our soul, Lord Jesus. Oh, there is no other thing like God, your word, God. And oh, Lord, your constant all willingness to be with us and to draw us near to you and to talk to our hearts, to encourage us, to lift us up, Lord. Oh, God, to take us into heavenly places with you, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh, Lord, that you'd help us tonight. Lord, you know every need, every burden. Oh, God, every care, Lord Jesus. You know the things that seem like they're going wrong. Oh, God, we do bring it all before thee, Jesus. We ask, oh, Lord, that you would intervene. Oh, God, that you would move the mountains. Oh, God, that might seem like impossibilities. But yet, Lord, we know with you there are no such things. Oh, God, there is nothing too hard for you, Lord Jesus. We come to you, Lord. I ask, oh, Lord, that you'd use this word, that you'd inspire this word, Lord, that you'd, oh, God, guide my thinking, oh, Lord, these words, that they would come forth under thy inspiration, Lord. Oh, God, we need you, Lord. I pray that you would be with your people. Oh, God, that you would talk to our hearts. And, oh, God, that you'd meet every need, Lord, these requests that we bring to you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, work in a mighty way, I ask in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, continue to work, oh, Lord. Oh, God, continue to deliver, for you know all the heavy burdens, Lord. And I'm believing, Lord. Oh, God, you're going to continue to help Mackenzie, Lord. And, oh, God, you're going to, oh, God, heal her completely, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you'd help your people, Lord. Oh, God, help those that are afflicted. And, oh, God, those that have struggles, those that have needs. Oh, God, be with those out there where the fires have been so strong. And I pray, oh, Lord, oh, God, that you would, oh, God, work to quiet, oh, God, all the upsets of this world and all the things that are going crazy. We need you. Keep your people, Lord, as the apple of your eye. Oh, God, be with us here tonight. Oh, Lord, talk to our hearts and help us, I ask. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in the name of Jesus, let faith work in our hearts, I ask. I pray that, oh Lord, oh God, you would bring us to, oh God, greater depths with thee and all higher ground and inspire us, Lord. Oh, help those that are sick, Lord, those that have needs, Lord. Be with Judy, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you lift her up and bring her to thy heavenly places, Lord, in thee, Lord, and give her those reassurances, give her faith, Lord. Lord, and I pray that you would heal her body. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise our God. Oh, thank you, Lord. We're going to be talking about faith here tonight. I'm going to do a study on Matthew 9. And, you know, I'm going to, you know, show us here tonight with the Lord's help, Jesus' response to faith, his response to faith. And, of course, just as we're beginning here, let's just turn here quickly to Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 1. Not this is unfamiliar, but, oh my, here we have a definition of faith. I just want to, you know, to read it here tonight. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And praise the Lord. That's quite a definition. You know, obviously, faith is something that isn't always tangible right before us. In fact, if we're going to have faith, we're believing him before things happen, before the evidence is apparent. And yes, we all have needs in our life. We know, as it tells us in the sixth verse of this 11th chapter of Hebrews, that without faith it is impossible to please God. And it tells us that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Of course, here in this wonderful chapter of Hebrews 11, we have all those examples of those that lived before us who showed great faith. And praise the Lord, that is something that is evident to the people of God. Faith, to believe God. Oh, yes, a substance, something, oh, yes, that we can see by faith, though it might, you know, not be tangible in that sense. We can grasp out and believe that God will do exceedingly above that which we ask or think. Praise the Lord, through faith. And yes, evidence of things that are not seen. Oh, praise the Lord, yes. Faith is an action word. And yes, we know in the book of James, James, you know, made it clear that you had to have faith and works working together. Otherwise, you know, faith isn't going to be evident if there aren't works that follow or that come even before that faith is realized. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, we see that Jesus, he knew what it was like to find those that did not have faith. And specifically here in Matthew, the 13th chapter, it tells us here at the very end of this 13th chapter, verse 54, "And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" Oh, here we see, here in Jesus' own hometown, he was met with unbelief. It was that these people that were familiar only saw him as the son of Joseph. And yes, the son of Mary, you could say. And you know, they could name his brothers, and they could talk about his sisters. But you know, they didn't want to realize that Jesus was more than all of that. In fact, he wasn't the carpenter's son at all. But oh my, he was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. But yet, these people did not have eyes of faith. It tells us in verse 57, "And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." And sadly, verse 58 tells us, "And he did not many mighty works there, because of their unbelief." Oh, that is sad. Oh, yes, we have to have faith to please God. And that's just, you know, something that is settled. Oh, it's something that is established. If you don't have faith, you're not going to get anywhere with God. But praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is when God puts faith in our hearts. And we can reach out. Oh, yes, and realize that he is the Christ. Oh, we can reach out and claim his promises. Oh, we reached out to a point where we knew that we needed to repent of our sins. And oh, yes, believing God that he would forgive us. Oh, yes, obeying his command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, reaching out to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. That faith that he put within us. And what a blessing it is. But you know, here we are at the end of the world, and we know that Jesus asked a very serious question there in the 18th chapter of the book of Luke. And of course, we know what that question was. "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And here we are, I believe, in these moments right before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how we need faith. Oh, we need faith. Oh, we don't know what tomorrow may hold. And you know, this whole society that we live in may collapse. But praise the Lord, we know we have the promises of God. Regardless of all the goings on around us, we have that solid rock that we can stand on. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, there is nothing too hard for our God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Praise the Lord. I find this to be quite an inspiring chapter, and I believe you will hear tonight too. Praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about Jesus' response to faith. Praise the Lord. We're going to see faith in action as we read, oh yes, the happenings in this chapter 9 of Matthew. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Okay, it tells us in the first verse, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And now I'm going to say in this case, we have references in Mark, the second chapter, and I'm going to just pause here and go to Mark chapter 2 because this same instance is talked about here in Mark chapter 2, this incident. And it tells us in the first verse, Mark chapter 2, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Okay, so it's going to, you know, give us the next details that, you know, would reference what we are going to read in Matthew chapter 9. But here it states clearly that it happened in Capernaum. And, you know, I just want to, you know, mention that, you know, it seems that Capernaum became kind of like his headquarters city. If you look in my Bible, it's right across the page, but in the first chapter of Mark, it tells us, well, looking at verse 28, and immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And verse 29 says, and forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. And of course, then it goes on to tell us that Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And of course, he healed her, and she got right up and was able to minister to them. But what I'm trying to show you here tonight is it is possible that this reference here that we're going to be referring to here in Matthew 9 and also in Mark 2, and also it's in the book of Luke. But, you know, it could be that the house in which this all happened was the house of Simon, Peter, and Andrew. If, you know, I am putting that together, but, you know, it does identify, you know, the town as Capernaum. And okay, we'll just, you know, try to put the details together as best we can. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, you know, there's a few more details that I want to go forth with here on in Mark, the second chapter, because some of these thoughts aren't given in the book of Matthew. So the second verse here in Mark 2 tells us, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And it tells us in the third verse, and they come unto him bringing one sick of a palsy which was born of four. And the next verse also has some details I want to include here. It says in verse 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. So, oh wow, we see what is happening here. If we go back to Matthew chapter 9 again, you can see that some of the details aren't given here, so that's why I wanted to include what was written there in Mark chapter 2. But here, back here in Matthew, it just simply tells us in verse 2, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, this is quite a wonderful happenstance. But here we see, obviously, you know, here's a man. He's got this disease. He's got palsy. And, you know, with some kind of paralysis, I believe. It needs some kind of disorder to the nervous system and whatever all there it included. But obviously, you know, he's lying in bed. I'm thinking he probably couldn't walk. And you know, he had no way of getting to Jesus on his own. But praise the Lord, he had four friends, obviously. And, you know, they obviously had heard that Jesus was there in that house in Capernaum. And, you know, as it could be that it was the house of Simon and Andrew. You know, perhaps, you know, I'm thinking it is, but, yeah, I can't tell for positive. But anyway, they heard. And, you know, when they got to that house, they find that there's so many people in that house that, oh my, they have no access to even get in, much less to Jesus. So, you know, they come up with a plan. And, you know, this is quite a plan. You know, it's not, you know, something we would probably typically do, but there were so many, and they were desperate. They wanted to get their friend to Jesus. They just knew if Jesus would see their faith, hear, touch the sick of the palsy, you know, that he would be healed. They had that kind of faith, and it's wonderful. And, you know, interestingly, in Luke, actually, you know, we have, you know, the information there in the 5th chapter of the book of Luke, this same incident here, but in the 17th verse, it tells us a little bit more concerning who is in this house. Verse 17, it tells us here, this is Luke, the 5th chapter, verse 17, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So, wow, there's wonderful things happening, obviously. And then it goes on in Luke to tell us about how, you know, the man brought in a bed, you know, with a man that was taken with a palsy. And, you know, they had to find a way to get him in. So, yes, it tells us in verse 19, and they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude. They went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his coat into the midst before Jesus. And praise the Lord, all three of these Gospels tell us that Jesus saw their faith. Jesus saw their faith. Oh yes, as I said, faith is an action word. And back here in Mark, well, let's see, let's go back to Matthew, actually, the 9th chapter. Having filled in those details, but anyway, it tells us in Matthew, this 9th chapter here, when Jesus, seeing their faith, this is what he said here in the 2nd verse of Matthew 9, Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And of course, I don't know how often Jesus said this. You know, I'm sure those four that bore him and brought him down to the tiling and all were not expecting exactly this to come forth. You know, Jesus, before anything else, forgiving his sins. And I think this is rather interesting. I'm just going to pause here a moment to cover a couple bases here. You know, it tells us in Psalm 66, and I'm just going to quickly turn to Psalms chapter 66 here. Praise the Lord. Psalm 66. Let's look at verse 16 and read a few verses here at the end of this 66th chapter here in Psalms. Verse 16 says, Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. Now, you know, I would say there's faith here, and I'd say this isn't quiet either. You know, again, keeping in mind, faith is an action word, and sometimes, you know, we have that reserve or, you know, whatever that actually could be fear that, you know, keeps us really quiet at times, and we should be praising the Lord and crying out with a loud voice. I mean, when we get really desperate, you know, you just kind of forget, you know, what anybody else might think. Oh, what, you know, what happened, you know, with all your heart, with all your soul, and, you know, you're crying out, you're worshiping the Lord, you're praising Him, or you have a need. And here, I believe this psalmist, oh, yes, as he's going to declare what God had done for his soul. Well, you know, I'm thinking there was a need here. And yes, verse 17 says again, I cried unto Him with my mouth. And He was extolled, or in other words, He was worshipped with my tongue. Oh, praise the Lord, He was praised. He was worshipped with my tongue. And then verse 18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Oh, how wise it is to give everything over to the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, because you don't want something hidden deep inside your heart. Sometimes it could be even unforgiveness and all those other things that try to creep in. But here's a statement, verse 18 again, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But the psalmist goes on to say, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Oh, how beautiful it is when the answers come. And you know that God has heard your cry. He has answered your prayer. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's so wonderful when God begins to show Himself. And, you know, I had a neat call today from Doug, who comes to church here. And you know, he's been fighting a lot of battles, including insomnia, but oh, he was excited because last night, and I had prayed for him the night before, and you know, we prayed for him on Sunday, and praise the Lord, he said last night he slept for 7.5 hours. I mean, this has not happened in a long time to Doug, and you know, he was just rejoicing and praising the Lord. Like I said, it is wonderful, and the answers begin to come forth. Praise our God. And so the psalmist is saying in verse 19, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, sometimes you need to let go of all the reserves. Oh, yes, you need to forget about what others might think and just cry out to the Lord with all your heart. Oh, He's such a wonderful God, and how He hears those cries. Psalms 103. Verse 1, 2, 3, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the wonder of it. But, you know, often it seems like, you know, healing and forgiveness all come together. And I have to note in the book of James, too, if we can just turn here for a minute here, James chapter 5, we see also those two things occurring here together, here in James 5, starting with verse 13. Verse 13 reads, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? And oh, how positive this scripture is. Oh, how very positive. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. We are admonished in the next verse 16, to confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that he may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, praise the Lord, how God hears that cry from the heart. Oh, when one is praying with all his heart or her heart, praise the Lord unto the living God. But yeah, sometimes there's little things, you know, that need to get out of the way. Things that are preventing God from working like he wants to. And yes, we just have a little hint here, you know. And also, you know, yes, it talks about confessing our faults one to another. That's not sins. No, it says faults, okay? Please. All right. And then it says pray one for another. And as I'm reading the scripture, I'm thinking how it was with Job. Oh, yes, when God delivered him from those boils. And, you know, he'd had those friends that, you know, came and supposedly they were comforters, but actually I'd say they were tormentors. And God rebuked them. Oh, yes, when God came through and he began to talk to Job. Oh, yes, those friends were rebuked. Oh, yes, for their attitudes, for their spirits, for the things that they had said that were not true. How they had come on Job and, you know, said things that were not proper. But praise the Lord. God told Job to pray for his friends. And when he prayed for those friends, those boils were healed. They were no longer a problem. God delivered Job when he prayed for his friends. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Little things to remember and to think about. And yes, to put to faith. Amen. Amen. To put to action. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And oh yes, there's, oh yes, that ardency, that fervency, all that great faith that comes out when, oh, we pray with all our heart. And yes, even effectually, praise the Lord. Oh yes, so that, oh my, it's adequate to meet the need. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And of course, it mentions a righteous man. So praise the Lord. We want to turn everything over to God that might be iniquity in our hearts. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. But okay, we're going back now to Matthew 9. And praise the Lord, Jesus had just said to this man with a palsy, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." This is verse 2. And the third verse says, "And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk?" For God, you know, he can do either very adequately. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, thank you, Jesus. But he said in verse 6, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then said he to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house." Praise the Lord. And he arose and departed to his house. Praise the Lord. It says, "But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." Praise the Lord. But you see, here's this man who was born of those four. And I like how Jesus said, seeing their faith. Oh, I think the man sick of the palsy had faith. I believe he did. But specifically, I believe Jesus is talking about the faith of his friends. They had faith to bring him to Jesus. And oh, yes, you know, to go up onto the roof and take down some tiling so that they might bring their friend down to the spot where Jesus was. Yes, they had faith, and God saw it. Oh, yes, Jesus as the Son of God saw it. And yes, oh, yes, that faith, oh, yeah, was was answered. Praise the Lord. That man was forgiven and he was healed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we're going to continue in this chapter. Verse 9 says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." Wow, that's a quick response, isn't it? Oh, yes. And I believe this is early in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And, oh, yeah, here you have, he is actually a publican sitting at the receipt of custom. He's a tax collector, Matthew, and Jesus called him. And praise the Lord, Matthew didn't waste any time. We know his name was also Levi. But, you know, he responded immediately. He left that receipt of custom, that place where he was sitting, and followed Jesus. He left the old behind and rose to follow Jesus. Praise the Lord. And became one of Jesus' apostles. Praise the Lord. Okay, and it tells us in verse 10, "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And we see, oh my, so very, very often, you know, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, had hard hearts. They thought they were righteous on their own. And you know, therefore, they didn't feel that need to repent and turn their lives over to Jesus Christ. Oh my, so yeah, Jesus, you know, he didn't call them. You know, there was no response. You know, they had, you know, their own ways and their own methods and their own righteousness. And oh my, you know, he couldn't help them, therefore. He could not save them or, you know, call them unto repentance. Praise the Lord. Yes, because there had to be that realization that they needed a Savior, that they needed to repent and turn their lives over to God. And just like, you know, Jesus is using that example, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Oh my, so yeah, it was the Pharisees, yeah, that, you know, that he had a lot of trouble, you know, and, you know, they always were looking for faults with what Jesus did and said. And of course, I believe this incident here in verse 10 is, you know, I believe that Matthew actually, maybe it was a feast that he put together after Jesus had called him. And there were others that came to his house, including publicans and sinners. And, you know, the Pharisees always thought, ah, that's terrible. How can Jesus, you know, have dealings with publicans and sinners? You know, they just always found fault with that kind of thing. But oh my, Jesus couldn't reach them either, could he? Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, so now, looking at verse 14, there's a question here in this chapter. "Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but the disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast." Oh yes, so as long as Jesus was with them, there was not that need or, you know, that compulsion there to fast. They didn't, you know, have that need. Jesus was with them at that point. But certainly after that time, you know, when Jesus had ascended back into heaven, I'm sure there were many times that they fasted, just as Jesus was mentioning here. And then there's another thing here. Okay. Let's just read verse 15 here. again. And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Then he went on to say in verse 16, No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill in up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Okay, this is rather curious. But you know, there's quite the points here that Jesus is making. Oh, he is actually talking about a distinction, a separation between two covenants, the old covenant and the new covenant. And you know that first reference in verse 16 that a man would, you know, take a piece of new cloth and put it on an old garment because that would take away from the garment and the rent would be made worse rather than better. But, you know, I believe Jesus was indicating that, you know, he's bringing about a separation. He was bringing the New Testament into being as he was teaching the people. And, you know, he's indicating that that old covenant, you know, would not be patched up to be preserved in that respect. You know, I mean, it would always be there. It would, you know, we still take from it. We still teach from it. We have wonderful examples from it. But it has been fulfilled. And so, yes, it wasn't going to be patched up to be continued in that sense. And yeah, he said, you know, also along those lines that men would not put new wine into old bottles. Because, you know, the new wine would not be fermented. It would not be intoxicating. So you would not put that brand new wine into a bottle where fermentation had taken place. Praise the Lord. And so he's mentioning that, you know, you have to have separate bottles for the old and separate bottles for the new. And I believe there, too, he is making that distinction between the two covenants. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, it's, you know, we still have the Old Testament. It's still intact as far as, you know, the words that are written. But it has been fulfilled. It's still there in that sense. But it's separated. Jesus was bringing the new covenant into place. As you know, he was teaching the people. He was still under the law as he ministered on earth. But yes, that time was coming when, oh yes, that veil would be rent in twain. And oh yes, the things that were written pertaining to the things of the law, the rituals, and all of that would no longer be in effect. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I believe those examples that he's given here in verse 16 and 17 are telling us about the distinction between the old and the new. Praise our God. But I want to go on to verse 18. It says, While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Oh, here's a very urgent need, and here's a certain ruler. Oh, yes, he's actually a ruler of a synagogue, as we can tell from Matthew, the fifth chapter. And, you know, it is in his heart. There's an urgent need. And, oh, he came and worshiped Jesus. And he said, My daughter is even now dead. But I love the faith that he is showing. He said, But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Praise the Lord. He's not questioning the possibility or, you know, it could be, perhaps, or all this sort of thing. But he's just making a very declarative, positive statement. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. So So you see the faith of this man, this certain ruler, this ruler of the synagogue who came and worshiped Jesus. Praise the Lord. I love that faith. Oh, yes, his daughter was nearly dead as he spoke those words. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Well, as Jesus and his disciples are traveling, and you know, the certain ruler, I'm sure, with them also, another thing happens, and this is indeed another wonderful happenstance, another example of great faith. We see here in verse 20, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Oh, praise the Lord. See, that is how her faith led her. She had it in her heart. Oh, I want to be whole. Oh, I've got to be whole. I've had this infirmity, this issue of blood, 12 long years. And oh my, I can't bear it any longer. And oh, how she knew that Jesus could help her. And oh, it was within her heart. Oh, what she thought within herself. Oh, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. You see how positive her faith is, how she is believing. She is not doubting. She just knows she can get there. Of course, you know, we can tell by the other Gospels there were throngs of people. And oh, this wasn't an easy thing to go and touch Jesus' garment. But somehow she made her way through the crowd, oh, to get to that place where Jesus was. Oh, it must not have been easy for her. She had infirmity. You know, likely she couldn't even walk all that well. But oh my, she had a determination that she was going to be healed if she could just touch Jesus' garment, the hem of his garment. It was going to happen. She was putting faith to the test. Oh, praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 22, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Praise the Lord, what faith does. Oh, that woman's response. Oh, in some way to show her faith. But can just touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And praise the Lord. Oh, she did. She did. And Jesus, oh, realized her faith. He could feel that virtue that came out of him. And he knew, even though the crowds were thronging him, that, oh, that healing virtue had come out of him. He saw this little struggling woman. Praise the Lord. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Praise God. But here they are. They're still going to the ruler's house. And we know from the other Gospels, too, that this ruler's name is Jairus. And so it tells us here, you know, this woman, you know, intercepted things, you know, while Jesus is traveling to the home of Jairus. And so here it is. He's getting there. Verse 23, it says, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house, and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. And again, you know, what had also happened, and the other Gospels tell that, you know, before Jesus got there, the message came that, you know, to the ruler, don't bother the master, you know, your daughter's dead. It's too late, they thought, you know, don't bother him anymore. But, you know, Jesus, oh, you know, he told this ruler, Jairus, oh yes, don't be afraid, only believe. Praise the Lord, don't be afraid, only believe. It sounded like a hopeless situation, but nothing is hopeless with God. Our God can meet every need. Praise the Lord, there is nothing too hard for our God. Praise the Lord, so here it is. He came to the home. Oh, yes, they were already there, the noisemakers, the minstrels with their instruments, their lamentation, their wailing, and all that they did to, you know, make it known that the daughter had died, this young woman, this little girl. And, you know, Jesus said unto them in verse 24, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed into scorn. Oh, this sounded ridiculous, but oh my. And it tells us also in the other Gospels that, you know, he chewed out all the people with unbelief, all these people. And he took the mother and the father, and he took Peter, James, and John into the place where this young maid lived, or lied at that point. And you know, also Scripture tells us that she was 12 years old. But anyway, it tells us here in verse 25, but when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. Oh, praise the Lord. It's so beautiful how God is able to meet every need. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes. In spite of the fact that it appeared that she had died, it was not too late for the Lord Jesus to come to say, Talitha kumai, in other words, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Praise the Lord. And she did. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful miracle. How God saw the faith of that ruler of the synagogue, Jairus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How he saw the faith of that woman who touched his garment to be made whole. And as we continue here in this ninth chapter of Matthew, we see another example of faith. Verse 27 says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Praise the Lord. Here we have a very distinct example of faith. And you know, it appears from what is recorded here in Matthew, you know, these blind men obviously followed Jesus. And, you know, we're crying out. I'm sure they were quiet. Thou son of David, have mercy on us. Oh, my. They probably followed him a long ways. And, you know, it appears to me that, you know, Jesus did not respond immediately. But, oh, my. You know, that's interesting, isn't it? He didn't answer them right away. It says that when he was come into the house. Oh my, so, you know, they had followed him, and yes, now he went into the house. Perhaps he was ignoring these men. I'm not sure, but, you know, the blind men all persisted. They came to him, it tells us, and Jesus did ask them, oh yes, believe ye that I am able to do this? Oh, he wanted them to confirm their faith. Praise the Lord. And yes, they said, yea, Lord. And then he touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And it tells us in verse 30, and their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, verse 31 again. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Oh, they couldn't keep it quiet. God had done such a marvelous work through them. Oh, yes, as the Son of God had touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Praise the Lord. They had faith, obviously. Oh, and you know, because, you know, without that faith, it never would have happened. And praise the Lord, their eyes were opened. And now, yeah, Jesus did, you know, strictly charge them, you know, to not tell any man. But I'll tell you what, I guess, how could they keep it inside? And yes, they did depart and spread abroad his fame in all that country. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, wow, two blind men. Oh, yes, they could now see. What a miracle. What a wonder. Oh, how could you hide it? Oh, praise the Lord. But you see, Jesus, yes, as you know, he didn't immediately touch their eyes. It seemed like he was waiting for their response of faith. And then, yes, when they affirmed their faith, you know, he did touch their eyes and said unto them, according to your faith, be it unto you. Praise the Lord. Jesus' response to faith. Praise our God. And now we're going to read another response to faith as we continue this chapter here. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 9 tells us in verse 31. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. And verse 32 goes on to say, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. Oh, praise the Lord. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Oh, praise the Lord. And I'm curious, because I didn't really see this before. I'm not sure if it was, you know, those that had been healed that brought this dumb man, but, you know, obviously he was brought to Jesus. And, you know, I was curious how it reads there in verse 31. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country, and they went out. Behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. So could it be that these men whose eyes were touched by the Lord Jesus and healed then brought this dumb man to him? And it tells us that this dumb man was possessed with a devil. Oh, yes. Devils cause all kinds of infirmities. And praise the Lord, Jesus saw the faith of these men who brought this dumb man who was possessed with a devil unto him. Praise the Lord. Jesus saw their great faith. And obviously that devil was cast out. And that man who was not able to speak, he was a mute before that time, now was able to speak, and that devil was cast out. Praise the Lord. It tells us clearly in verse 33. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Oh yes, before Jesus came on the scene, the casting out of devils had never been. It had never happened before. There were other miracles that happened in the time of the Old Testament. But oh my, we never saw devils cast out. Oh, this was such a marvelous thing. And oh yes, it tells us that the multitudes marveled. They knew that there was a great power behind this casting out of the devils. Praise the Lord. But of course, we've got trouble with the Pharisees here. Oh yes, as we did a little earlier in the scripture here, we see again their unbelief. It says in verse 34, but the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. Oh, through Beelzebub, it seems. You know how horrible this is. Blasphemy. Oh, yes, to declare that the Son of God was casting out devils through the prince of the devils. But oh my, what a lie. But that was their heart. That was the unbelief that was in these religious leaders, these blind leaders of the blind. Oh, yes, and how they saw it. Oh, how pitiful. How pathetic. Oh, my, they had no faith. And oh, my, what thoughts came into their mind and what accusations they brought forth. Totally untrue. Oh, yes. Oh, to their disgrace, certainly. But praise the Lord, all these happenings here in this ninth chapter of the book of Matthew. And plus, as we read verse 35, it tells us that these miracles continued. It reads, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Praise the Lord, what a ministry. Oh, so much, oh yes, to take in. He went about, it wasn't just in Capernaum or Jericho or Jerusalem or, you know, those certain cities, but oh, he went about all the cities. I believe from one to the next, all the cities and all the villages. He would teach in their synagogues and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Oh, yes, the gospel, the good news of the gospel that had come unto them. And praise the Lord, with his teaching came the healing and the deliverance. Oh, yes, that wonderful work of the Lord, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Oh, praise the Lord, this ninth chapter of Matthew is just loaded with wonderful responses to faith. Praise the Lord, we had, first of all, that man with the palsy that was born of the thorn and taken to the place where Jesus was ministering. And praise the Lord, Jesus saw their faith, those men that bore him. Oh, yes, he saw faith, that faith to go up onto the roof and take off some of the tiling so that they could bring this man with a palsy down to the spot where Jesus was. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus saw their faith. And then, yes, we read of the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus. Oh, yes, who had faith for his little daughter. Oh, yes, even though she was nigh unto death. And then, oh, she obviously died while he was on his way or coming back with Jesus there, before Jesus could come, before she was deceased, so to speak. But praise the Lord, Jesus saw that man's faith and it was honored. Oh, praise the Lord. And that young girl was made completely whole. Praise the Lord, that faith of the Father. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Oh, praise the Lord. What a beautiful statement. And of course, we know how that woman with the issue of blood showed her faith. Oh, doing what she had to do, what was in her heart, to go and touch the hem of Jesus' garment, knowing that somehow, if she could just but do that, he would make her whole. Praise the Lord. And oh, how it happened. Oh, God saw her faith. He said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole for that hour. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And then, yes, we read of those two blind men that followed Jesus. Oh, crying after him, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." Now, well, praise the Lord. Like I said, it doesn't seem that Jesus responded immediately in this case. He went into the house, but the blind man followed him, obviously. And at that point, Jesus asked them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I can do this? Oh, do you have faith?" In other words, and yes, they were able to say, they were able to affirm their faith. "Yea, Lord." And then at that point, Jesus touched their eyes and he said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, there was an immediate response to that then. And their eyes were opened. Praise the Lord. And it seems, oh, yes, they went out, declared the wonderful works of God, obviously. And it seems that, oh, my, they must have brought this dumb man who was possessed with the devil unto Jesus. And was this too hard for our Lord? Oh, was the devil just too obstinate? Oh, no, Jesus was able to cast out that devil. Praise the Lord. And that man who had not been able to speak was now able to talk. Praise the Lord. And I know there was great rejoicing. Oh, yes. As all the wonderful works of the Lord were seen, and such as the multitudes declared, it was never so seen in Israel. Oh, praise the Lord. But you know, Jesus went on, and as we read in verse 35, he went about all the cities and villages, wherever he went, he would teach in their synagogues, he would preach the gospel of the kingdom, and oh yes, the sick were healed. And every disease among the people vanished in the name of the Lord Jesus by the power of the living God. Oh, praise the Lord, our wonderful God, our Savior's response to faith. Oh my, you know, he sees it. And I thank God, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is God, and he is not unlimited. Oh, in his power and in his might and in his ability. He's not limited in his compassion. And praise the Lord, as we sang that song, there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Praise the Lord, there is no friend like Jesus, one who cares and has so much compassion. And no matter what the problem is, he knows how to intervene. He knows how to heal. He knows how to help. He knows how to deliver. Praise the Lord, he knows how to bring relief. He knows how to give sleep. Praise the Lord. Jesus sees and he cares. He knows all about our struggles. Praise the Lord. He knows about our pain. He knows about our burdens. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful Jesus we serve. Oh, what a wonderful God we serve. Oh, we have much to thank him for. We have much to praise him for. Praise the Lord. That wonderful compassion that Jesus Christ showed when he was on earth. Oh, praise the Lord. He still has that compassion for us today. Oh, praise the Lord. We know, oh, yes, that there is a throne of grace. There is a throne of grace and mercy. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, he invites us to enter into that place. Oh, that throne of grace and mercy. Praise the Lord. We're invited to go before that throne. Praise the Lord. Hebrews the 4th chapter tells us in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And praise the Lord, verse 16 tells us, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, praise the Lord, our wonderful, gracious Savior, the one who loves us so much and loved us so much that he gave his life a ransom for us. Oh, yes, that took those stripes. Oh, yes, oh, because, oh, yes, those stripes were bringing forth our healing. Praise the Lord. And with his stripes we are healed. Oh, praise the Lord. The wonderful Jesus who responds to faith. Oh, yes. But oh, yes, that question, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Oh, praise the Lord. I believe he's preserved for himself a people. I believe, oh yes, that we are the people of the Lord. Oh yes, what he did in times past, I believe he's able to do right now. Oh yes, we can bring our burdens to the Lord. Oh, we can come to that place of his throne. Oh, His great throne of grace. Oh, and find mercy and help in the time of need. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we couldn't deserve it. Oh, my, there's no merit of our own. But our Savior, He hears. He hears the cries of His people. And oh, He sees faith. Oh, yes, our God responds to faith. Oh, praise the Lord, if we could just have faith. Oh, I know, you know, He didn't say we needed, a great amount of faith. No, you know, He said, you know, you just have faith as a grain of a mustard seed. He shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Praise the Lord. Oh, He said that. He said that in Matthew, the 17th chapter, verse 20. But yes, then He did disclose to His disciples who had not been able to cast out the unclean spirits in the lunatic, that son of that man who He came first of all to the disciples and then to Jesus. And yes, Jesus did say in verse 21 of Matthew 17, howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Oh, how we need, oh yes, to get a hold of God. How we need that kind of prayer life. How we need that time of fasting. And oh, we know that we have a God who is so capable and so willing and so loving, who came to this earth to make provision for us. Oh yes, that we might find salvation and that we might know, oh, His graciousness, His goodness, His wonderful response to faith. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. There's a problem. If there's a need. Oh, yes. We can call for the elders of the church. Or if you don't have somebody locally, I'll tell you what, I do a lot of praying on the telephone. Oh, praise the Lord. I know Brother Samuel will pray too. And then, you know, the others that are with us are glad to pray. Praise the Lord, that prayer of faith. Oh, yes, it comes forth. If we could just believe God. For, oh my, we know. Just as we're told in James, that fifth chapter, that prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Praise the Lord. Oh, these are our Lord's responses to faith. Praise the Lord. Faith that comes from the heart, that cry. Oh, yes. Believing God. Oh, that what He has said, He will do. Praise the Lord. He sees faith. Praise our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, you know every need here tonight. Oh, Lord, we know that Thou art the same, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that You would work in a mighty way, that You give us, oh, God, that faith, oh, Lord, to cry out and to believe You, Lord, not to doubt, not to fear, God. Oh, yes, that little grain of a mustard seed that we need, Lord, to believe You, Lord. Oh, God, let Your will be done, let Your healing virtue flow, Lord. Oh, let Your presence come down. I pray that, oh, God, oh, there would be responses, Lord, for not only can You heal our diseases, but You can save our souls. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Oh, You can deliver us. You can set us free indeed. We thank You, Jesus. We praise You, Lord. Oh, God, we believe You, Lord. Thank You for Your responses to faith. Oh, Lord, give us that faith to believe You. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. That ninth chapter of Matthew, Jesus' response to faith. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Believe the Lord tonight. I know He's here to meet your needs. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. We love You, Lord. Thank You, God. Oh, praise You, Jesus. Thank You, God. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We do love You, Lord. We praise You, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 101 and sing Faith Can Move Mountains, number 101. Faith can move mountains, mountains of fear and of doubt. Faith can move mountains, so why don't you try your faith out? Faith can move mountains, mountains of fear and of doubt. Faith can move mountains, so why don't you try your faith out? Faith can move mountains, mountains of fear and of doubt. Faith can move mountains, so why don't you try your faith out? Faith can move mountains, mountains of fear and of doubt. Faith can move mountains, so why don't you try your faith out? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.